You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 777 of the Dressage Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. The Dressage Radio Show is the official podcast of the United States Dressage Federation. Today, Megan and I chat with my student, Mandy Enfinger, on her long journey with her horse, Chloe, and earning her USDF silver medal. Festival of Champions report with Christina Morin Graham on competing at the FEI Grand Prix and Sienna Busking on becoming a para dressage champion. This is Reese Koffler Stanfield in Georgetown, Kentucky.
And I am Megan McIsaac from Oregon, Wisconsin, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show. Hey, Reese.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
I'm living the dream.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, I am too. That's why I have a cold. So I am sorry, everyone, that I have a cold. I think I've been having a good time in life.
What you been up to?
Well, I mean,
I've traveler. Kind of
been all over. Yes, you and I both had trips. So, how was yours first, and then I'll go into my journeys.
I had a great trip. I needed time away from home, and yep. I had a client that needed a horse, and it was wild. I mean, it's kind of weird because it's like a business trip, but it was vacation, right? Because I got to get out of the country, go to Europe, see different barns, see different training styles, see a different caliber of horses. So I was just inspired coming home from the trip. And I even rode my sail horse better. He was like, whoa, who are you?
Where'd you go?
Where'd you come from?
Because you were in Denmark, right?
Yes. Yeah. He was you can go back there.
Like, wait, mom is improved. What just happened?
Yep. Oh. And how about you? Where did you head to?
Same kind of thing. Like, I did actually not work as much. I did go. I think I've talked about him before when I bought him last fall, but I own a yearling in the Netherlands. Yeah. And I kind of bought him sort of on a whim just because he made me smile. I don't know what it was. I just saw this horse and I was like, he is precious. He is a brother of one of my Orleans time of my 6-year-old. He's his little brother, same mother and different daddy. And I don't know. I just saw him last fall. And I mean, he made me smile from the beginning. And my husband's like, I have never really seen you smile like that. Like, he's like, I don't know. He's like, buy him. I was like, what? Okay. Don't say less. So we call him Legs because he has really long legs. But Legs was a yearling colt and cut himself badly in the field. We don't know how he did it. He cut the back of his knees. And we're like, how did you? He must have jumped on something. We're not sure what or how. But anyways, Legs had to come in the barn. And shout out to my friend Samara, who has taken beautiful care of him because he was feral. So they had to deal with that. Thank goodness they dealt with that. It was good. He had to come in the barn and he had some learning to do. So we're thinking that's a good thing. And I just wanted to go see him in person. His knee looks awesome. They did a great job. So I called my best friend and I was like, hey, you want to go to Amsterdam? And she's like, yeah, that literally, yes. And like, she was like, hold on, let me start booking the tickets. And my best friend is amazing. She is an American saddlebred rider and judge. So, you know, she knows about horses and she breeds also. So she was game. And so we flew in and what can you do with a yearling? You know, I basically had to like, pet him. I gave him his first treat. I was so I brought treats and he didn't know what it was, but I was like, here, this is your mommy. I'll be back in a year. And so it was just fun. And then we spent 3 days in Amsterdam or 3.5 days. And we just toured and like did normal people things. Cause same, like when I go to Europe, I don't usually have time to go do anything. And so went to the Rijksmuseum and we went on a food tour in Amsterdam, which was great. We went on also a canal tour. I had done it before, but we had our food guide told us. I mean, it's just fun how that kind of like your trip evolves. And that's what we did. We used a great app. I've told my college students too. It's called City Mapper. Brooke was amazing and took care of all the logistics, which I love. Normally I'm logistics, which is why we end up in random places. But Brooke did a great job. And that was so fun. So it was just a great trip. All same as Megan, like I needed a little time away. I didn't realize I'd been away a little bit this summer, but with family. I mean, this was just truly like we had a couple things planned, but we just was so organic and we just had a great time. So highly recommend going on a girls trip, which was so fun. So it was great. And then now we're back to the grind, which is probably why I have a cold. You know, I have horses kind of going everywhere. I literally have horses at 5 horse shows this.
Wow.
And the event horses are places and our regionals. You and I decided not to go this year.
Yep.
We have our local show, like our KDA show is the same weekend. So, I have a ton of horses going to the horse show here. We have horses in Michigan. I have horses showing in Florida. Like it's just all over the place. So we've been busy getting everybody ready. So, it's going to be a fun weekend and fall's always busy for us. Trainers, we really get hammered. So, I probably should have had more vitamin C if you know what I mean.
Yes. Yes.
Didn't do enough vitamins. So lesson learned. I know better, but it's been fun and I've been having a great time and getting everybody ready. So yeah, it's fall season, full steam ahead. We have to wish everybody luck at their regionals. I think region 2 is the first regionals going out.
But they're this weekend.
Yeah, it's this weekend. And then just everybody's coming. And so good luck to everybody at the regionals and their in finals. If you make it, we are thrilled about that as well. So, but yeah, we have a great show. We're super excited to be back at it. And we hope you enjoy. We have awesome guests for tonight. We hope you really enjoy them. Are runny poop and dirty butt challenges for your horse? Does his diarrhea have you both down? Does he struggle with bouts of colic or other digestive tract issues? Or is digestive distress due to lifestyle changes, travel, illness, or injury, or antibiotic use? Probiotic-wise, is your supplement of choice when a balanced high gut is your goal. Available in powder or paste, probiotic-wise, is a concentrated source of both probiotic and prebiotic that captures and sweeps pathogenic bacteria, supporting healthy and maintain healthy gut tissue and sustain a robust microbiome. To see if Probiotic Wise is available through veterinarians, is the right choice for your horse, speak with your vet or visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974. Well, tonight on the Dressage Radio Show, I am so happy to invite my friend and someone that I really admire for her journey. I've been a part of her journey with her horse, Chloe, but I want to invite Mandy Enfinger on the show. Mandy, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Well, girl, I don't even know when we met, but first of all, tell everybody a little bit about yourself and also a little bit about your story, because it's pretty awesome.
All right. Well, I'm a full-time worker. I've got 2 boys at home, 2 teenage boys. And in addition to all that, I run a blanket cleaning and repair business and try to ride my horses once in a while.
So, I feel you. I feel you on every level.
So, Chloe, I got in 2015. And I have a wonderful husband. I'm really lucky with him. I actually met him. He was managing a farm. So he's a qualified horse person in his own right.
Absolutely. We love Sean. Shout out to Sean.
Yeah.
We love you too, yeah, Sean.
He's my eyes and ears on the ground at all times. He's our farrier.
Oh, wow.
You know, trailer driver sometimes when I'm not feeling up to driving. So.
Support Steve team. I mean, he's wonderful. And he comes to every one of your lessons and videos, and he's awesome.
Wow. Does he have a brother?
No.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I just saw a spinoff happening. A Dressage Radio spinoff. Sorry. We digress, Mandy. Back to scheduled programming.
But yeah.
Tell us how you found Chloe, because I love the article you wrote. And I was like, that is so awesome, because it was your husband that found Chloe, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I had a late teens thoroughbred that I was working with that I'd actually brought with me from California. And he was just kind of starting to get older and needing to slow down a little. And Sean had actually been looking online without me knowing on Craigslist. And I'd always told him I would love a dapple gray mare. And I'm also about 5'10 and a lot of legs. So we know I need a big horse. So we are looking like 16'2 to 17'2, hopefully. And he found an ad for a thoroughbred mare that was 6 years old, 16'3 dapple gray, unbroke. I'm like, this is my dream horse. Let's go see her. So we went, I mean, she's like out in Timbuktu, Kentucky. It was like almost a 2 hour drive to get down to where she was at. And we get there and little dapple gray mare in the first stall. It's like a run into a stall. And Sean looks at her and he's like, she's not 16'3. Yeah. And he's like, he didn't even want to get out. And I was like, well, we came all this way. And I was like, well, maybe she's just smaller because she's kind of down in a hole. We'll get out and we'll look at her. So we get out and the girl that's the owner and trainer of the farm gets out and starts talking about her and brings her out. And yeah, she's nowhere close to 16'3. So we're like, okay, well, we'll watch her go around and then probably move on. And we watched her go and the lady just kind of chased her in the round pen a little. She'd had her for 2 weeks from the lady that owns her and had gotten maybe a week's worth of groundwork in on her because it had been raining so badly. So there wasn't a whole lot that she could show us. We were like, she's a decent mover, you know, and she seemed sweet. So we went home and talked it over and kind of mulled it over. And it's like, well, she's kind of small, but, you know, she's not badly priced for what she is. I mean, she's cheap because she's a six-year-old unbroke horse. I mean, she kind of led mostly. So we got a hold of the owner and made her an offer and went a little back and forth with that. And we're like, well, this is what we can get out of the bank with it now being Sunday. And she agreed to it and we went and picked her up. And she actually kind of shocked us. She just about walked straight on the trailer and we were like, okay, we can do this. So yeah, that's how I got my high three-figure horse is what I call her.
It's true. And she is amazing. Like around the trailer, I have to say, one time I looked up and the girls are here for a lesson and like a UPS truck drives by and I was like, oh my God, Chloe's just standing there. I was like, oh God, think it was Chloe because it could have been bad. So tell us, Mandy, I mean, we started working and I can't again remember what time when you started to bring her, but she was pretty young at that time. And you said, I want to get a silver medal. And I was like, okay. So we started,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we got her in June of 2015, swung up on her back in August of 2015, and then kind of got her going in the fall and brought her for her first lesson December of that year. And it's hilarious to look back at the video of that lesson and what she does now. And I mean, it was like speed racer in your ring.
I think it would be fun to see a test from this year and then the first lesson. I think that would be so cool to see the transformation.
Oh, I could definitely do that. I've got plenty of videos of her. I got a Pixio when I started taking lessons, shortly after I started taking lessons with Reese, so I could always record them. So I've got plenty of video of that. And then my husband will either do pictures or video at every show. So like I said, I'm lucky to have him.
I think that is so neat. Because when I think of a thoroughbred, like what was your most challenging moments in getting her started? Because when I think of thoroughbreds, I think of them as slightly feral. And It doesn't sound like Chloe is it's that Megan, way.
You got to spend some more time in Kentucky, girl.
I think I do. Like, I'm open to doing that. So
the entire state just went like, Megan.
Well, yeah. Being honest, I mean, like, that is my perspective. So change my perspective.
And she isn't, Mandy, we don't think she's all thoroughbred, though, because she has a really beautifully dished face. Like, mm-hmm. We think she's something else, right?
Oh, I've had so many suggestions on her. I mean, Arab cross, Lipizzaner cross, Andalusian cross, Connemara cross.
Yeah.
She's very delicately built. Yes. Even now, if I pull real hard to one side, I could kind of pull her off balance just because she's just so delicate. And she doesn't overly move like a thoroughbred. She doesn't have that cookie cutter. But yeah, we were told that supposedly she was a full thoroughbred and that it was like a mare and stallion owner got together and were going to sell her once she was born. And then they had a falling out in between. So like we have no idea who her parents are. There's no registration paper, so there's nothing to prove whether she's actually fully thoroughbred or not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She's my unicorn. So is what I call her.
What are some challenges? I mean, you've done such a great job. What are some challenges that you would say over time that we've worked through to get her to the FAI levels?
She is challenging because you can just tell she has this opinion. Anytime I ask her for a more difficult maneuver, that she's just like, I can't do this. And she shuts down, you know, she throws a fit. She decides, no, I can't do this. And I'm never going to be able to do this. And it's like, no, actually you can.
Yes.
So it usually takes several months of discussing with her that, no, you can do this and you're going to do this because I know you're capable. And then at some point she just kind of gets this light bulb moment of, oh, this isn't so bad. And then it's just pretty easy usually from there. And it's different things have taken different amounts of time to get to that point with her.
And how do you, like, through those phases, how do you keep your thoughts positive? How do you work through that? And do you enjoy the challenges?
Oh, yes and no. I do spend a lot of time being like, I'm not capable of teaching this horse this. And I do have to push through that block on myself as well, that no, we can both do this. And it is challenging to not get frustrated with her, especially when it's like, I know you've done this before. You've done this quietly. And just having to work through the combination, because it is challenging, because a lot of what I've done with her, I had never done before I did it with her.
Right, exactly.
Up until second level, okay, I'm teaching her things I know. Once we pass that point, it's the blind leading the blind. You know, Reese is amazing. I love taking lessons with her because of both our schedules and just the time it takes for me to get to a lesson. I usually only get 6-ish lessons a year. Yeah. So a lot of it.
Oh, wow.
He does a lot. And most of the training is Mandy and Sean, because they live far. Far away, probably an hour and a half from me, probably.
It's about an hour. Yeah. But I don't know if you realize this, but yeah, to get a lesson with you, it's usually a 5-hour activity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get it. It's a half a day. I mean, I feel the same just when I have to go in Wellington somewhere. I mean, I think that's the hard part, right? Of also being, you know, you work full time, you have three, you know, two boys, and Sean, we'll put him in there. You have a family and you also have a huge blanket business, right? That you do to help fund the whole experience.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I mean, I think we all respect that of like how hard it is to get training and, you know, and you have to do most of it on your own. And so that's why, you know, the way you use video and PVO and Sean is so to your success. I mean, I think you're just a testament of like, you want this. And there was a time though where we had talked about selling Chloe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I had her going third level, we were kind of thinking that she kind of was getting topped out on her ability.
Yep.
And yeah, I did put her for sale, and that was probably the most one of the most mentally damaging times of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's not for sale anymore, right?
No.
Good. She'll probably die on the hill we live on.
And now, do you find this journey that you've had with Chloe and Reese and Sean that you have built confidence that you can do it? I mean, your story is amazing. Look at what you've accomplished.
It's been a very slow process.
Mm-hmm.
And again, a lot of challenge, a lot of frustration, but it's made me a better rider. And yes, because of the way I've done it, I do have the confidence that I can now take a new horse and train them up to that level and then hopefully past the pre-St. George that I've gone into, you know. And that's, I've got, and I'm also lucky that I had a trainer when I was younger that just gave me the ability to train a horse,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there is a difference between being able to get on and just ride a horse and then get on and actually train a horse. And she mm-hmm. instilled those basics in me so that I now have the skill set to start the training process. And then Reese has given me the skills that I need to continue up the levels.
Mm-hmm.
Now, am I capable of doing any training whatsoever? You know, I know there's a lot of things that I'm still green on, that still having the guidance of Reese, having Sean on the ground to help point things out to me is still extremely useful.
Yeah. And I think, you know, all of us need coaches, right? I mean, I think that that's, mm-hmm. you know, we're in a sport that we'll need coaches forever. And like you said, because now, you know, you talked about kind of what's the next plan, right? And so tell everybody about your next project. I mean, it's really fun. It's literally, I've been part of that one from the literally beginning. So tell people about that one.
So again, my wonderful husband was looking on Craigslist.
Again?
Sean could get some work out of this, I've decided. Sean's
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So he had found two mares that one we were looking at and we're like, that's a brand. So we went out and looked at them, and the one mare is an RPSI branded mare. The lady actually managed to pull her papers out and send them to us. She was a 10-year-old mare at the time. And we got her with the idea. She was, again, green broke. It took 45 minutes to get her and what I call her sister on the trailer at the same time. But we kind of got with the idea of, you know, maybe another project that I didn't have time for, and eventually to breed. Mm. So 3 years ago now, we finally were like, we're breeding this mare. And so the joy of Central Kentucky is that Lexington is filled with vets.
Yeah.
There is vets everywhere. They don't want to leave Fayette County.
Yeah, not where Mandy lives.
No, I'm only 45 minutes from most of the major vet practices. None of them would come down to me. So Reese thankfully offered to let me bring this mare up to her farm to try and get her bred.
It was team effort.
Needed, obviously, a vet coming out and checking on her and inseminating her and everything. And we ended up taking... We bred her like 2 days after we brought her up to Reese's farm, and she didn't take because shipment got left lost in the black hole that is the FedEx hub in Memphis.
Yeah.
Truth.
So she missed that one, and then we short cycled her, and she didn't actually short cycle.
No. And it was a mess.
And then we ended up taking her to Root and Riddle's breeding farm. at the very end of June, and they actually got her bride. We did counter-to-counter service, which if I ever do again, I'm just doing that. Because I'm not playing this getting lost in the hub game again.
No.
And so 2 years ago, our very first homebred was born, and I named him For Fun SF because I want to have fun. And aww. I want that reminder every time I get on him that that's why I wanted him here, is because I want to have fun.
Oh, I love it.
Isn't it fun?
Yes.
And now we call him Baby Piranha, but yeah, still fun.
Yeah. So his sire is Fortunato H2O, and Fortunato's barn name, I think, is pretty widely known as Tuna. So we kind of wanted to keep the trend going, and we called him Piranha. So he's Piranha or fish on the farm. So, and he's just been so much fun to play with. I mean, just, you know, we were handling him from day one, and he's just been easy and laid back and just takes everything in stride. So right now he's just past 2 years old, and we're working on some long lining, which is also a fun challenge because I don't necessarily have all the facilities that you need for a young horse. So I don't have a round pen. So what we've been doing is actually having Sean on a lunge line with me, then long lining him, and then slowly starting to take the lunge line off some and let me kind of take him around on his own. So exciting.
It's so exciting. And it's going to be such a fun journey. And we're thrilled for you, Mandy. And we can't wait to be a part of your journey. And thank you for coming on and sharing with us. I mean, I think it's so cool to find, you know, and hear the stories. They do exist of horses found in a field. And with good horsemanship and good riding and good training, you can do it. You can get a silver medal. So we're so proud of you, Mandy. And really, you're one of my heart people because you work so hard at it. And you guys are so great. So congratulations again. Thank you for coming on. And how can listeners find you online if they want to learn more about your blanket services, which we keep you very busy.
Yes.
And a little bit more about you.
So my Facebook is just Mandy Endfinger, and that's literally phonetic. It's like the end of your finger. And then I'm on Instagram, and that's Starfire, which is Starfyire. And then if you want to check out my business, which I'm not very good about keeping up on, but I'm good about answering the messages, it's also on Facebook, and it's Horse Suds and Stitches.
Oh, that's cute.
And she does great embroidery too. She's amazing. So we love it. Well, thank you, Mandy, for coming on.
Thank you, Mandy. Congratulations. From early morning feedings to late night barn checks, horse care follows a rhythm. And Chewy helps you keep in step. Whether it's grooming for that shine, gear to protect every ride, or the supplements that power their stride, Chewy delivers what you need when you need it. Fast shipping, flexible auto ship, and trusted brands mean you can focus on the feel of the reins, not the stress of the supply run. Your horse counts on you, and you can count on Chewy to match the beat of your barn life for every season and every reason. Start your order today at chewy.com/equine.
Well, today we are so excited to have Christine Morin Graham on. She was the highest placed Grand Prix competitor at the Festival of Champions this summer, and she's a managing principal at Graham Partner. Christina, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a privilege to be here today.
We are thrilled to have you. And we've already, of course, started chatting before we started the tape. We had to quit chatting and get you on the air. But Christina, you're wonderful. And we want you to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, thanks. I am in my mid-50s and I'm a mom. I have a wonderful husband and two boys that are teenagers. And I've worked full-time in business since I graduated from college and started in investment banking at Goldman Sachs and then worked for an M&A boutique. And then I've been in private equity for around 27, 28 years at this point. And I'm a partner at Graham Partners and oversee all of our capital formation, and investor relations activities, although I started as on the investment side and focused on that for the first decade and a half, and then shifted into more investor relations, just because with the family, it became a little more manageable. And then on the riding front, I grew up as I was a horse girl, which my teenage boys have explained to me is not cool. I thought being a horse girl was very cool and great. And my teenage boys have told me that being a horse girl is not cool based on their experiences in middle school with other horse girls.
Oh, but I think they're smart. I think those boys are like, stay away. And let's be real. It's probably smart, but
but I grew up with not a lot of, not a lot of money and borrowed ponies. And I just loved horses and, kind of scrapped it together to make it work, and then stopped, of course, for college and after college. Actually, I played polo in college because it was the cheapest way to ride at the University of Virginia.
And cute then, boys. That was maybe a draw.
And then I graduated and went to New York City and worked a lot and everything. And then finally got back to it about 7 or 8 years ago. And I was like, I just want to get a nice horse. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I told my husband that I was a one horse girl. And now I think we calculated the other day, including retired horses and donkeys and my kids' ponies, it's now 12.
Whoa. So they're like potato chips.
From one. Yes.
They're like potato chips. You can't have just one. I mean, let's just be real. This is what I say to my husband. I just can't have one. They're a potato chip. I don't know what happened.
But my normal answer, my husband asked me, how many horses do you have now? And I said, well, do you want to include the donkeys and the, the ponies and all that? He said, yes. But the normal answer when someone says, how many horses do you have? I say, is too many. that's I've decided that's the best answer to give. So I told him one horse and I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I got this fantastic, he's actually a Mustang Tricaner cross.
Oh, wow.
And his name is Merlin. And he's actually going to the Region 8 Championships with a lovely woman who rides him at my barn now, because I sort of moved past him in terms of his ability. And he's just an absolute push button, cleans up at the lower levels. And then I realized I didn't know anything. And so then I started on my learning journey on the riding front. And lo and behold, somehow I ended up just doing the Festival of Championships at Grand Prix.
Grand Prix. So. Just a little jump there.
Yeah.
Tell us about your horse.
So the horse that I rode at the festival is a phenomenal mare. We call her the queen, Dauphine, the queen. I do have another Grand Prix horse that I've actually trained up to Grand Prix, but Dauphine came really as I would call her a schoolmaster for me, but we ended up realizing that she is way, way fancier than that. I sourced her myself directly from her owner in Germany, Franzi Stiegelmeier, who used to ride with Monica Teodorescu. She's a top, kind of mid-tier professional over there who's competing in the larger CDIs, hasn't broken through to that top, Olympic team level, but she's, a solid, just a rider and trainer over there. And I sourced Dauphine from her directly. It was funny when I went to try her, because I went by myself and I'm always intimidated when I go to try any horse. And her father clearly had a strong bond with this horse and probably with Dauphine, and probably gave her, boxes of sugar cubes a day, because when I was riding her, she just kept wanting to go over to him. And I was like, riding a Grand Prix mare and her ears are looking at this guy over here. She's just, and she was, kind of happily, podunking around and doing half passes and one tempies and what have you. But I could tell that I was not her focus. we just realized I trained with some top people, and pretty quickly they were like, you've got to get this horse in the big ring. She's she looks kind of funny. She's got a long neck and she's croup high and she doesn't look like much. She actually has some Anglo Arab in her breeding. And she's just, if you just saw her in a stall, you would walk right by. You wouldn't necessarily think, she just looks kind of average or even a little awkward. And then you pick her up and you put her together. And She's a big mover. I don't think just anybody could ride her because she does require, it's a physical ride, but she is just spectacular. And if you make her not boring, she is not boring. So it's been a great journey and I've learned so much from her, and I learned a ton from being at the festival. It was an incredible experience. And I feel like it was that step up game change for me in my riding, which is really what I was hoping to get out of it, which was incredible.
Yeah. Tell everybody about that. Like, you haven't been to festival before, you know, kind of explain the experience a little bit.
Yeah. I did not know what to expect at all. And I got there. And before I kind of just walked around the main kind of where all the arenas are and the warmups are, and coming more from amateur land. And, you know, I do go to some wonderful shows and I've competed at Devon and other big shows, but even in those venues, it's not uncommon to have, you know, coaches on the side that are yelling out, you know, more outside rain, you know, you need more bend, you know, don't let them do that. You know, and the atmosphere at the festival was very different. I walked over to the warm-up and it was the day before they were already doing young horse classes, and I hadn't even done the jog yet, but there were horses getting ready to compete. And the warm-up had this hush over it. And there's, you know, a small number of horses, beautiful riders, and the trainers on the side all have their headsets on and they're talking in a really low voice with a lot of intensity at their rider. And then there are, you know, 20 people there that are all people that I've mostly only seen in magazines, you know, famous trainers and who are observing, you know, the kinds of people that are, you know, keeping an eye out for our next, you know, Olympic hopefuls. So it just had this feeling of this undercurrent of intensity and energy, and it gave me the goosebumps. And I was like, I just think that just forces you to ride at such a different level, because you just know you've got to get in there. And you know, again, I didn't want to embarrass my trainer. I think that was really important to me.
I guarantee you did not embarrass your trainer.
You know, in a good way, I was like, if she's coming out here to help me, like I need to show up and bring my best. I was joking with everyone before we went out, and I was like, you know, the horse is 60%, the trainer's 30%, I'm 10%. And so if I bring even 5%, we could still do well.
Who do you train with?
But I train with several trainers, but right now my go-to trainer is Heather Mason. And she's really is my trainer right now. And then I clinic with different people, and I've had a number of individuals that have been really formative in helping me along at various points to just learn and develop a foundation, which I didn't have, from Felicitas von Neumann Cassell, Jim Coford, Silva Martin, and others as well. But Heather's spectacular, and I just have nothing but amazing things to say about her.
Yeah. And I think that's so true. Like, it is good in a way, like as you develop as a rider, I think that's important to know that, you know, it's okay to change or develop, or maybe it's not the right person at the right time, or your schedules don't match up. And so I think that's a cool thing, you know, that you've been able to, and I think that's normal. You know, Megan and I, you know, we've had trainers now for a long time, but, you know, we've had a lot of trainers as we go through our career. So,
yeah. And I need to mention also Tracy Olson and Pam Goodrich. I'm up in Massachusetts in the summer, and they've just been an incredible, important part of my journey as well. So, yeah.
I love that. So I just have to know, like, how do you, I mean, I just run a barn and have a husband. I can't imagine business and children and a husband. And how do you do it? Like, how's your schedule look?
It's a little frenetic.
I can imagine.
So it's a great question. So first, I would say I have a phenomenal team of people, and I just surround myself with really, really good people. So whether it's at work, I have just rock stars who work for me. I have about 9 people who work for me at my office that report directly to me or indirectly to me through others. And I try to give, you know, great feedback, but I set the bar pretty high and I try not to micromanage. I have my barn manager, Laura Murphy, and I have an assistant barn manager. So because we have other horses in our barn that are there as well that aren't mine. are just phenomenal. And for me, I think knowing that the horses are getting the best care possible is so important, that you know, they get every kind of need met. And what's really important to me is that they each get to have their own personality and to kind of express who they are. I love mares, and they can be kind of like, you know, divas, but I love that about them, and making sure that my horses really feel like they have a voice in kind of, and that they have a schedule that they know about, but, you know, really getting all the best of care, I think is really important. And then on the home front, I have an amazing husband and kids, and a phenomenal like housekeeper. So I will say that.
Oh yeah. I mean, you have to. So
I have to say, just knowing, you know, having an amazing team on that front. And so I'm incredibly grateful. It's a privilege and something that I don't take for granted. I do think there are aspects of my situation that allow for me to have excelled at the level that I have that aren't necessarily available to every amateur, because it's an expensive sport. These horses are heartbreakers. I've had some major losses that have been devastating, and I'm in a position, fortunately, where, you know, and again, I'm not buying $1 million horses, let's be clear. But where, you know, I've been able to say, okay, you know, I can get another one. And there are amateurs out there who pour everything they have into what they do. And I have friends who do this, and then, you know, their horse colics or what have you. And like, they can't, you know, they can't recover and do that, because sure, it's just the commitment and the financial requirements and everything are so vast. And so my heart goes out for people like that, because it is a privilege to be able to do it in that way. So, so really good team, and, you know, surround yourself with really good people. And I'm a big believer in no drama.
I love that. I agree with you. Say less.
Totally.
You can't, when you're competing at that level, like, that's it. You can't, there's not time.
Yeah.
Or energy. So that's amazing. So what's your next plan?
Well, I have a lot coming up right now. So I'm going, we have Region 8 championships, and I just looked, and it looks like, I mean, it is, there's, the classes are huge. I'm very excited. So I have a horse at small tour, and I have two horses going at the kind of Grand Prix level. And so I have three horses that are competing in that. And then if all three of them are still going and everything, a week later, they'll all three compete at Dressage at Devon, I'm on the board of, and it's an amazing show, and it's the 50th anniversary. And we have a masterclass with Ingrid Klimka, and we have a dance off. It's going to be really fun. And so they'll compete
there. Tell me
more
about this dance off. What?
Oh, the dance off is amazing. Yeah, so we're going to, I would maybe go to nationals if I qualify. So there's a lot going on, and that's going to be in Ohio this year.
Yes, in Ohio. Kentucky. I got to go back. Mm-hmm. I got to go back. What's a dance off? Like, I'm still
the dance off. Okay. That? So that one is really interesting. So my husband, who is also in finance, is a breakdancer, and he's in his 60s, and he, has been involved with, you know, breakdancing in the Olympics. So there's a whole another side to it. So
I was
somehow,
like, this is an Olympic sport. Like, I want to know more. Not that I can.
So it's an incredible sport. And the athletes, you know, there's men and women both compete in the Olympics, and they both actively participate in the sport. It's a global sport with big participation. I mean, in Europe, in Asia, in the US. So it's a tremendous, there's a big following. And somehow, when we were talking about Dressage at Devon and really bringing the show back to life, you know, so many of these single horse shows, including Dressage at Devon, struggle financially. And, you know, the series of shows that have crept up, whether it be Wellington or in other places, you know, can spread their costs over a much broader sequence of shows. So these single shows have struggled. And so we were really trying to figure out, how do we keep the show alive? And we decided that part of the strategic mission, that we needed to put in more events that would attract more spectators and more corporate sponsorship that might be interested in a specific niche or aspect, and that would appeal to a broader audience. So the dance off, we've done it now for 2 or 3 years, and we're doing it this year. was our judges were breakdancers that participate on an Olympic level. And in fact, we had the Olympic gold medalist there last year Canada from breakdancing as one of the judges. And the horse and rider combinations come in and they have to ride to impromptu to music that they don't know is being played. In costume, so they got to pick eras. I think Silva Martin won last year, and she was the 60s. And if you find a picture of her to put in your podcast, or like anyone should look her up because it was unbelievable. Her whole setup was just phenomenal in her. And then they get judged based on a combination of their dressage and their kind of costume as well. And the music was really uplifting and fun. And I think all of the riders who participated, Lauren Samus won 2 years ago, and she was phenomenal. She did no-handed one tempies down the center line.
Oh, get out. Come on. Dropped, do this.
Dropped her reins and just put her hands in the air, and her horse Daisy did one tempies all the way down, like something like 20 in a row. It was insane.
So cool.
With no reins.
I think that we encourage that all the time. People, Lauren's a very good, she's a medalist from the Pan Am Games. Don't do that unless you're qualified. I got to put a time out there.
So I think that for the people who participated, they just thought it was fun. And I work on a committee with George Williams and Ann Gribbins, who are phenomenal human beings. I've learned so much from them.
Yeah,
it's a privilege also to work with them. And they are on the board of Dressage at Devon. And so we work on the masterclass together in terms of scouting both the presenter of the masterclass as well as the riders that will be the demo riders in the masterclass, which we've also been doing for a number of years as part of Dressage at Devon. And so I ran this concept by them of this dance-off. And I said, we're going to have these horses. It's going to be impromptu riding. It's getting judged by breakdancers. And what do you guys think? And there was absolute silence. And then I was like, this was before we did the first dance-off. And then I was like, "Ooh, okay, well, let's just move on to the masterclass." And George Williams texted me immediately after the dance-off and said, "That was amazing." So cool. I just think, because even they were like, what did we do? I don't know. It was this whole like amalgam of, music and it was the whole thing. I think it was hard for people to get their head around, but people have loved it.
Now they have. Dressage is fun. I love it. Yeah. And there's also educational, they're going to be lectures too that I've seen.
Yes. Yep. So we have, I'm trying to forget the woman who's really good on biomechanics. Hillary Clayton is coming I believe. And then there's a bunch of, other lectures on various topics. So we're really trying to expand the show to be really like the gathering place at the, where everyone wants to come to see some of their favorite people that they don't see all the time. The shopping is great.
Oh yeah.
It's an amazing venue. The footing is great. We could have better stabling, but we work with it.
I remember I went when I was 14. I remember, I don't think it's probably changed in, 30 years, but that's okay. No, I love it. Oh, Christina, we could keep you on all night. You are so fun. I love that you're bringing fun back. And just to hear your story is so cool. I know why you are highly recommended to come on the show. Girl, you are phenomenal. Thank you so much. We want to hear about your journey this fall. We want to hear how Devon goes. We're going to cheer you on at the finals. I can feel it coming. Best of luck. All the good things. And thank you again for your time.
Thank you so much. And thanks for reaching out. And I'm happy to keep you guys posted. It's a good growth experience. And I'm trying to just be a better rider for my horses.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
Well, tonight I am so excited to have Sienna Busking on. She is from Oklahoma and she competed at the Festival of Champions in the Para Dressage Intermediate Division. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Well, we're thrilled to have you, and you came so highly recommended. So I was so excited to hear your story. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So I'm Sienna. I live in Oklahoma, and I compete in para dressage. And I started on that journey in October of 2023. I went to try on to be classified, and then that just opened so many doors.
I love that. Tell us what doors, like tell us kind of about your history before you got into the para program.
Okay. So before focusing on para dressage, I was eventing and I wanted to continue eventing. And I heard that if you were classified as a para, you would get a dispensation card. And while you have that for, you know, para dressage specific shows, you can also use it at any USEF show. So that was my whole goal, was to go be classified so I could still continue jumping, but use some of the aids that I'd been using to school at a competition. And while I was in try-on, it was one of their last qualifiers for the 2024 Paris Paralympics. And so I got to watch I watched Rebecca Hart ride. I watched Bea ride. There's so many wonderful people. And I thought, man, like, this would be really cool if I could figure out how to, you know, go kind of down this path. And lo and behold, there is a trained para coach that lives like 20 minutes away from me.
No way.
Was,
oh my gosh, stop it.
Like one of the founding people when they were piloting the program.
Get out.
So
that's a sign.
So when I was up there getting classified, I, after my appointment, I sat and I was watching everyone, and Michelle Asseline, who is the Paralympic team coach, came and sat by me, and I had no clue who he was. And he sat down, and he's like, oh, so, you know, do you like horses? What are you here for? And I was like, yes, I horses. And told him I was there being classified, and that, you know, while I just drove 14 and a half hours the day before, I figured I might as well sit and watch the show. And then I go and I look over at him, I'm like, well, do you like horses? And I had no idea who he was. And he's like, I do. And then he told me he's the team coach for everyone. So he was a big part in, you know, asking where I live, figuring out. And he says, oh, I know someone that lives really close. And Laureen also knows someone. And it was Roberta Clark. So she's been my trainer.
So cool.
Since then, and I was riding her horse at Festival of Champions. So I went there thinking I was going to be jumping, and here I am actually doing para dressage.
I love it. Just because you were chatty and networking, I love that so much.
What a story. And tell us about the horse.
So I rode Divino. He is 25, so he's actually older than I am, which is kind of funny. He is a Hanoverian, and he and Roberta got their gold medal together in 2021. And then after that, he was retired. And I started taking lessons with her on my young horse, Zephyr. And one day she had the idea. She was like, you may kind of like Divino. He's pretty forward and really strong, but he's a really, like, fun horse. So I started riding him, and we said it was his, you know, trial to come out of retirement. And he loved it. He was so happy to have a job again. And it worked out well. Grade 3 is walk trot, and then you can have canter in your freestyle. So it's just the perfect spot for him to be, kind of for his second career.
That's wonderful.
That is so cool.
So he's super fun. We ride probably in the grass pasture as much as we ride in the arena. That's where I'm comfortable. He's has a blast out there. He's a little more forward, which I enjoy. And he loves any type of treats. Like, he's always, if you're not giving him a treat, he'll look at you and he'll just tilt his head sideways and stick his nose out until you give him one. And he totally has my mom trained.
I love it. So tell us for people, because the para tests have been renamed, right? Can you explain that a little bit? The intermediate level, what does that mean?
Okay, so there's three levels of pair dressage. You have novice, which is kind of like your intro to pair dressage, sets up a good base for you and your horse. And then you have intermediate, and that's kind of a step up from there. And then the last level is the Grand Prix. So they added novice in not too long ago and gave just kind of like another stepping stone into the para world. Because the intermediate tests, they aren't, easy by any means. So at Festival, they added intermediate for the first time this year. They used to only have Grand Prix. So I got to compete in their first nationals with intermediate, which was really cool.
That is so exciting. And tell us about your experience at the festival. It was your first time going.
Yes, so it was Davino and I's fourth show together.
No way.
So we had done one show prior. We did one novice, and we're like, okay, we can move up. We just did it to see how we would get along in a show environment. We did our two intermediates, which we did like the first show on the Saturday, the second show on the Sunday, and got all of our scores and qualified. And so then off we were to Lamplight, and it was amazing. I've never seen a show facility like that.
Right?
It looked like
It's
something
beautiful.
like out of a movie or a magazine. So we got there, and they had all of the para riders right next to each other at the end of the barn A. And I was just blown away by how welcoming and sweet everyone was. A lot of these para riders already knew each other, so I was definitely kind of the newbie going into it. Especially with living in Oklahoma, I'm not near anyone. But they were so helpful. And as much as we were all wanting to be competitive and do our best, there was just as much, if not more, support coming from everyone wanting you to do your best as well. So that was just, I love the group of people that were there. And then the atmosphere, it was, just being able to ride and perform your freestyle in front of that many people and see your name on a jumbotron with your picture was,
Isn't that fun?
oh, it was so cool. I was like, oh my gosh, my face is huge on that board. And it was live streamed. I was like, people are watching me ride. And it's not just, me
Course they are.
in a back pasture in Oklahoma.
And tell us how you did. I think you were amazing.
Yes, we won champion for intermediate.
Woohoo!
I really wasn't expecting it going into it, but we were, and the competitors, it was not, a landslide by any means. We were all neck and neck, but it really came down to test B. So you have test A, test B, and freestyle. Test A is worth 40%. Test B is worth 45%, and freestyle is worth 15%.
Wow.
So, I came in first on test B and had a pretty good jump ahead in my points on that one, and then was able to maintain the lead after the freestyle. And I kind of laugh because, and I can say this now, and I think it's a little funnier than I did in the moment. Test B, I had a rider error, and it's the first time I've ever done that. I was going around, and all of a sudden, I forgot what I was doing in my test. And
Well,
so
you were
it's,
looking around. You were distracted by the beauty.
I know, I was just kind of like in the moment, and then I realized I don't know what I'm should be doing in the next moment. So some. I was the first rider in that test, so I came out of it and I was like, well, other than where I messed up, like I felt like it was a solid test. And then realizing later that I won first, just kind of goes to show you like it's the next movement that counts, and if you mess up on something, like it's not a total loss. You just keep going. So that was a fun moment. It's a little cooler now, that I'm not being like, man, I just messed up on live stream, and the announcer was like, and she was not supposed to do that movement. So
Well, we have all been there and we know what it's like. And I think what's really special is you came in with no expectations and you were enjoying the moment. I mean, you won the moment. I think that's wonderful because I tell my students that all the time. Just be grateful to be on your horse at this horse show. And you really did.
So Sienna, where do we go from here after festival? How cool is that? What's the next step?
So my next step is to get my international classification. So right now I'm nationally classified, and to be internationally classified, I have to go to a CPEDI and ride in front of judges from different countries. And I, if everything goes to plan, am doing that in October.
Ooh.
So then after that, it will just be going to more shows, getting more scores under my belt. And I would love one day to compete on the Paralympics team. That would be the ultimate goal. So now it's just breaking it down into, you know, bite-sized pieces of things that I can do now.
Yes, absolutely. Well, girl, well, we want to, first of all, congratulate you on festival. And then we are going to be on with you on this journey. And girl, when you make that team, we want you to come back on the show. How does that sound?
Absolutely. I would love to.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for your time tonight. You were amazing. And we wish you so much luck on your journey.
Thank you so much. I appreciate y'all.
Well, Megan, how are you enjoying our book club book?
I'm loving it. I'm learning a lot on exercises on the ground, which I'm finding I have a hole in my training.
I don't disagree. This is such a cool book. And it's really good if you're sort of, you know, we had that really hot run here. And mm-hmm. so I was like, working on some of this in the walk, and it was awesome. So mm-hmm. the book is, drum roll please,
33 Strength and Fitness Workouts for Your Horses by Jack Ballou.
Yep. And it's through this month. So we hope you're enjoying our book club. You can get the book through horseandriderbooks.com, Trafalgar Square. They're wonderful. And it's an awesome book. So please get reading, because we have our discussion with Jack coming up. And as always, you can find our show notes and links to today's guests on our page at horseradionetwork.com. Search Dressage Radio Show. Like us on Facebook, just search Dressage Radio Show. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com. And my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
And my website is lindenhoff.com. And my email is lindenhoff, LLC@gmail.com. We'd like to thank our friends and show sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products and Chewy. If you'd like to support our show and the Horse Radio Network, you can do that through the auditor program found at horseradionetwork.com. Keep on kicking on until the next show. Talk to you soon.